Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. Few offer as much raw intelligence of the old-fashioned kind on matters involving Asia as does our first guest. He is Gordon Chang. He is a renowned authority and go-to guy on the subject of particularly China, but more broadly, this very important part of the world for us, as well as the Daily Beast, and of course Fox News and many others. He is the author of two best-selling books, The Coming Collapse of China and Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. Gordon, welcome back. Always good to have you, sir.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Well, speaking of North Korea taking on the world, you had a rather provocative piece at the National Interest last week, Gordon, about whether Donald Trump is ready to take on North Korea in the sense of attacking it. Give us a flavor of why you think that may be so and whether, under the circumstances, it is advisable.
Senator Lindsey Graham, the South Carolina Republican, has really transmitted many of President Trump's chilling threats to North Korea. And last week he talked about sending a signal to the North Koreans that the United States have a viable military option. This is in connection with comments from other members of the Republican Party and the administration which really constitute war talk. Since I wrote that piece at the National Interest, Senator Graham has also talked about evacuating dependents of American military personnel from the Korean Peninsula and not sending dependents of new personnel. And that will certainly spook the North Koreans. You know, there are many military preparations we need to take, and clearly the North Koreans have to know that we have a military option. But there are so many other things that we should be talking about at this particular time. So, for instance, when President Trump announced the North Korean launch of the Hwasong-15, he mentioned that he had a long conversation with Secretary of Defense James Mattis. I would certainly have liked to have heard President Trump say that he had a long conversation with Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, the administration official responsible for enforcing sanctions, because there's a lot that we can do without the use of force to bring North Korea to the point where it understands it has to disarm. And the administration isn't talking sanctions. It's talking about military means.
It does seem to me, Gordon, I know our colleague Admiral Ace Lyons has been recommending for months that we get those dependents out of there, that it would concentrate the mind of both the North and South Koreans, for that matter, and certainly square things away for military action if that's absolutely necessary. Let me ask you about a couple of other things, Gordon. We'll be talking momentarily with our friend Kevin Freeman about some of the indications of the Chinese, who we have constantly been told are our allies in dealing with the North Koreans, and you and I talk about this most weeks. Kevin's very much of the view that the Chinese are now engaged in an increasingly open economic war against the United States. Let me ask you to respond to that sort of proposition generally, and then I want to ask you about some specific aspects of what the Chinese are up to that are very worrying.
Well, there's no question that the Chinese have been conducting a trade war against the United States and other nations, and they've been doing so for a very long time. People in the U.S. Don't understand the nature of this broad-based challenge, and they view this as just normal competition. But China's increasingly predatory practices against American companies and against the U.S. economy, I think, cannot be characterized in any other way. But whatever term one wants to use, we have to understand what China is doing. And that certainly is undermining the American economy. And they're doing that with a sense of malice.
malice and, it seems, increasing purpose. Let me ask you about a couple of things, Gordon. Against the backdrop of that, the president has rejected the, as apparently has the European Union, the idea that the Chinese would be characterized as a market economy for purposes of the World Trade Organization. It seems to me that's self-evident, but it is rather surprising, is it not, that this step is being taken by the United States at the moment when there still does seem to be a lingering hope within at least some quarters of the U.S. government, perhaps including the president, that he'll be able to bring Xi into helping with the North Korean problem. What are your thoughts about the WTO and how it fits into the larger Trump policy agenda?
Well, certainly China is moving away from a market economy, but this is a technical issue. When China joined the World Trade Organization 15 years ago, it had expected that within 15 years, it would be treated as a market economy for purposes of dumping. Dumping is when a country sells products below cost to another country. When there is a dumping complaint, the question is what prices can be used to determine whether a country has, in fact, dumped products. If it's a market economy, the complaining country is restricted in what prices it can use to prove its case. There is language in the WTO accession agreement for China which appears to say that within 15 years, China will automatically get market economy status. And I think that was indeed the interpretation, that was the intention of U.S. negotiators. But, Frank, the language that was actually used in the WTO accession agreement is fuzzed up. And so there is some question from a technical point of view what American negotiators actually, in fact, agreed to. And this is what President Trump is saying. He's taking advantage of this ambiguity in the language to pressure China. The Europeans are also doing this. They eventually may agree formally to market economy status for the Chinese, but they will probably introduce provisions that will indeed make it much more difficult for China to dump products. They've got this concept of disruptive conduct. This is going to be, I think, the central challenge when we look at China, because clearly the Chinese economy, as I mentioned, has become less liberal under Xi Jinping, the current ruler. And so the United States should take advantage of every opportunity we have to oppose market economy status for the Chinese.
Amen. And Gordon, this is, of course, among other things, in the face of Chinese pressure campaigns and lobbying. There was an interesting report about a group called China's United Front Work Department, something I had not heard of before, but that seems to be operating, among other places, in Australia to recruit what it calls friends in the West. What do we know about this United Front Work Department and how it's operating here and to what effect?
Well, the United Front, which is a part of the Communist Party, is an attempt to get support from other nations. And they portray China as a friend, as a defender of the international system, all the rest of it. But what they are using United Front tactics for is undermining democracies, not only Australia's, where they're having some success, but also ours, where they've made substantial inroads. This is another broad-based challenge from Beijing. This one is actually more insidious than the economy because they attack the institutions of our free society with their United Front work. And so the United States has yet to fully understand and oppose United Front tactics of the Chinese in our own country.
What you might call part of the unrestricted warfare of the Chinese against us. Gordon, lastly and very quickly, there is another report in the Wall Street Journal last week about the Chinese using their tech giants to spy on their people. You were one of those who joined us in opposing the initial public offering of Alibaba on the American stock market, and it seems to be playing a prominent role in helping the Chinese maintain their totalitarian control at home and presumably elsewhere as well. Talk a little bit about that, if you would, quickly.
Yeah, of course, the Chinese use every instrument possible to coerce their own people. But there are reports that Chinese products, such as, for instance, drones and surveillance cameras that are used in the U.S., are sending back information to China. So it's not only the Chinese that are being spied on, it's also Americans. And again, we don't understand the full breadth of China's challenge here. And we very well may have to have a ban on Chinese products in order to protect ourselves.
Sure sounds right to me, particularly as there would probably play an increasingly prominent role in the so-called Internet of Things we're getting into. Gordon, we have to leave it at that for the moment. Thank you so much for your time today, as well as visiting with each week. I know you'll keep up the great work at the Daily Beast. Thank you, sir. Good to talk with you. Next up, as promised, Kevin Freeman will get his thoughts on some of these issues and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.